Take your Bible and go into the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans, chapter number 1. I want us to look at this and look at the potential that you and I have at this church. And what desire that we ought to have and what goes on in our mind and heart is a lot different sometimes than what people think and what God knows and wants us to be. If I know my heart and I don't know my heart fully, I want to be exactly where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do, no more and actually no less. I'm not here to make a name for myself or to try to climb up on the ladder of success. I done come too far for that. Amen. I didn't make it years ago. And ain't no need me trying now. I just want to be the best that I can be till I get called out of here. Stand, please, and read with me in Romans 1. The Bible said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. I want you to notice the next little phrase, separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Now God promised that gospel, but he did not present it till it came fulfilled through Christ Jesus. Said concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now I want to slip down to verse number 14, for the sake of time, and we'll begin there reading. It said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Verse 15 said, so as much as in me is, Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16 said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You may be seated. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we have the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, most of all for the Word of God. How precious, how real the Word of God really is to us. Lord, it gets better and better every day. Lord, we thank you for its direction. We thank you for its comfort. We thank you for its strength. We thank you for its power. And we thank you for its control and any and every other thing that it does. We thank you this morning, Lord, that we can preach the gospel. We can tell others who do not know. Lord, we who are of the truth need to reveal to those who do not know. Thank you, Lord, for putting us in the ministry and at the same time giving us a responsibility. Lord, help us as a church here to carry on the Great Commission and do what we ought to be doing, bringing glory and honor to your name. We'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Now, if we don't know what the gospel is, we got problems. We're supposed to preach it. The word gospel's not mentioned. I've preached on this, the word gospel is not mentioned in the Old Testament. No such thing as the gospel as we know it in the Old Testament, although the gospel was in the mind of God. God knowed all about it. And God did reveal it, because in chapter 1, the book of Romans, and the verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets, he promised it, and he performed it on the cross of Calvary. I've asked some people, what do you think the gospel is? They'll give you different ideas. Matter of fact, you can look it up. I've looked up some of the things. What do people say? What do some of the encyclopedias? What do some of the news media? What do some of the things on the internet say about the gospel? They'll say, it's the books Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're not the gospels. There's not but one gospel. They're records of the gospel. Well, Jesus preached the gospel. How'd he preach the gospel? Amen. When he had never been to the cross of Calvary yet. Because in his mind he had. Amen. But what Jesus preached, every word he spoke, was not literally the gospel. It was the results of what the gospel can do to a man or woman. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, that's not the gospel. Amen. Am I telling you the truth? But when you get saved by the grace of God through the gospel, then the gospel will control your life. Said, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's the results of the gospel. That's not the gospel. Preachers get up and say, the gospel's good news. Well, I've heard a lot of good news. It wasn't the gospel. But the gospel is recorded in the Bible. And if you don't go to the Bible to get and find out what the gospel is, you're going to be in a world of hurt. You're going to be preaching something that shouldn't be preached. You know what the gospel is? Now, every one of you in this church, and if you can't tell me what it is, I ought to get after you. Amen. Because I've told you over and over and over, but just in case you have forgotten, I'm going to give it to you again. Chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to find out what the gospel is. This is what the world needs. Jesus told the church, go into all parts of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The book of Mark. That's what he said. Every creature. And that's what I'm doing. So every time I get up, I'm preaching to you creatures. I didn't call you that, God did. Amen. All right. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. He said, by which also ye are saved. Now, what's this? He's talking about the gospel. The gospel saves, is that right? According to the word of God, nothing else will save you but the gospel. You can't get saved by nothing but the gospel. The Baptist can't save you. The Holiness can't save you. The Methodist can't save you. The Lutheran can't save you. The Catholic can't save you. Nobody else. Mama can't save you. Daddy can't save you. The preacher can't save you. You're saved by the gospel if you're saved at all. Amen. Now we better find out what the gospel is. If it's going to change our life, we better know what it is. By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Paul said, I preached it to you. He's a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. Now look at verse number 3. He said, for I delivered unto you. He means in his preaching. First of all, that which I also received. I received it first and then told you about it. How that Christ, number 1, died for your sins. You see that? According to the scriptures. Died for your sins. According to the scriptures. Then he said, and that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, he sums up, what's the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures, and that on the third day. I sometimes don't include that when I say that. And the Holy Spirit slapped me on the side of the head and said, that's got to be there. Paul said he rose on the third day. Why? Because there's some people believe that you can bury Christ on Friday and get him up on Sunday morning. That's Good Friday. They believe in he's, and they'll tell you he stayed in the ground 3 days and three nights, and that can't be. So he stayed in the ground 3 days and three nights because the Bible said that there's no sign given but the sign of Jonas. Whereas Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And he was. And all that's according to the Scriptures. Not according to Almanac. Not according to the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Not according to CNN. Not according to Fox News, not according to the president, nor according to the preacher, but according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Now, if anybody's not preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day according to the Scriptures, they are not preaching the gospel. Now, if they're not preaching the gospel, what are they preaching? If they're not preaching the gospel, they're going to have to try to give some kind of substitute. And most of them do. And you go into the fact of this business today, I'll guarantee you most churches today, the preachers are not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there's times you come to this church, and I may not talk about the crucifixion. We may be on the subject in the Word of God. But what we're doing is giving you the whole counsel of the Word of God that the gospel has revealed to us. Amen. And so, you know, you get a bunch of little Baptists sometimes, and here's the bad thing about it. People that don't know want to know if they ever hear the truth. Now, there's some people that just got their minds made up, their hearts are made up. They're so hard-hearted and so hard-minded that they will not even hear. Because they don't want to hear. I mentioned this right before Sunday school this morning. Ronald Reagan, one of the finest presidents we ever had, had a son by the name of Ron Reagan. You may have seen the advertisements on the television. And he has got up and said and talked about a lot of things about nature and everything else. And he's all, and right at the end, he talks about the atheists, and he's glad to be an atheist, and agnostics, and all that. And he gets there, and he said, and I'm not afraid of burning in hell. That's his statement. Some of you may have seen that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You've got people out there. Now, people like that, you're going to have a hard time reaching. You're wasting your time. You're casting your pearls before swine preaching to them today. Their mind's made up. You couldn't change them. Amen. For nothing. It'll take the grace. Now, I ain't saying God can't change them. But I'm saying I don't know how to touch them. And it's going to take the power and the grace. And that don't mean that I ain't going to preach to them. I'll still preach to them. But I'm going to preach them the gospel because that's what they need. You with me? All right. We go about this. A lot of people don't know anything about the death, burial, and resurrection. They've never heard, as I read to you, what this man wrote to me in the email. He had never been told about hell. And there's a lot of people never been told about heaven or hell, nor their sins or the blood of Christ. They just go through a ritual, a form and a fashion. Well, you said, that's them in the big churches. Yeah, but down here at the little churches, we do it too. We get our little forms and our little fashions. We got our minds made up of what the gospel is. Now, if you don't know what the gospel is, I done read it to you again. You better get it ironclad in your heart and down in there. Paul did. And I'll give you some things about Paul here in just a minute that I believe will help you and get you to. You see, I want to do what I can. But I come to church to preach to you. I come this morning saying, Lord, I don't know what I need to say, but I pray you would take this, take it over, take charge of this for me. I don't know what those folks need. And when I get up to preach, I don't care if it's 2 or 200. I want you to know, I want to give you what I can give you from the Word of God, because that's the only thing that can help you. I can't help you. Amen. I can take you down and buy you dinner today. Amen. Don't everybody take up on that now. Amen. But I could. I may have to borrow some money from some of you men, but I tell you right now, I could take you to lunch. I can do some things. I'm limited to what I can do physically right now. But I could do a lot of things to help you. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not looking to help you there. I'm looking this morning to help you spiritually, to keep you out of hell. I don't want your blood dripping off my hands. I stand before God because I didn't pay you the truth. Jesus came into this world for one purpose, and that's to die. And He died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. And then He rose on the third day on His own power. Amen. And according to the Word of God. And you said, well, you know, let's look at this thing. Let's just dissect this a little bit more. If He rose again according to the Scriptures, died, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures, then let me say this. There's some things we better recognize. Number one, we better recognize who Jesus is. He's the Son of the living God. No sin. I'm not talking about He wasn't born of a virgin, of a German harlot. That's what I was trying to get. He wasn't born of a German harlot, that some say. He was born of a virgin that God chose. And so He had no part of man about Him except the body He got from Mary. That body was destined to the grave. Are you with me? But He was God in the flesh when He walked here. He had no sin. Amen. He wasn't some good teacher, although He's the best teacher. He wasn't some good prophet. He was the greatest prophet. But that didn't get it done. But He died on the cross of Calvary as a sinless, perfect Lamb of God. Took my sin upon Him and died in my stead. Now you've got to know who Jesus is. And you can't have an idea of what the world says about. You've got to recognize Jesus as God's only begotten. God's only begotten. God's only begotten Son. Nobody else has been begotten like Jesus. Amen. He had a virgin birth. Now, if you're going to preach the gospel, then you're going to only need to know who Jesus is and need to know what the gospel is. Amen. Are you seeing that today? But you got to also look at these things and how it was demonstrated and brought and see what God wants. And He wants it preached. He wants the gospel preached. Now, in Romans chapter 1, well, let me throw one more in there. Holy Spirit just showed me one more. You've got to also know what kind of scriptures He's talking about. I might get up here this morning. I'm not, but I might get up here this morning and take another version or perversion that means God and read it to you the same place, and you wouldn't get it all. And so you wouldn't get the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures that you might call scripture. You've got to recognize that the scriptures here is, I believe, the preserved Word of God, the King James Bible. I believe that's the closest thing you and I have got today to the Word of God. So you got to recognize that. Now, Paul says in chapter 1 and verse number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, notice this next phrase, called to be an apostle. That's a sent one. Comma, then there's one more thing here. Separated unto what? The gospel of God. He is separated to it. In other words, Paul had given his life over. He knew nothing but the gospel. He lived, he breathed, he ate the gospel. He was a gospel preacher. Every morning he got up, he's jumping at the bits to preach. When he went down, wherever he went in the public, he was there to preach. Wherever he went, whereas in the jailhouse or anywhere else, he is preaching. Because he is separated unto the gospel of God. It's the only thing that was on his mind. That's the only thing that was on his heart. You know why he'd believe that? Why he was separated? Because he knew that's the only thing going to help you. I can come down and paint your house, and it might make you feel good, but it ain't going to help you spiritually. Amen. I give you my bill. You may not feel too good about it, but I want to tell you, Jesus paid my sin debt free. And I can give you the gospel, and I can give it to you free. And I give God the praise and the glory that I can this morning. Isn't it good to know? Now I want to look at three things about Paul here. I see this is deeper than I want to actually get involved in. But most of the time that's when we get in trouble anyhow. We don't get deep enough. Look down in verse number 14. Paul said, these three I ams of Paul. He said, I am debtor. Number two, he says in verse 15, I am ready. See that? And then in verse 16, he said, I am not ashamed. Three I ams of Paul. That's what motivated him. That's what made him the best. I got to thinking about this morning. If I'm going to preach the gospel, I better find out what the gospel is. And I better search it out. And I found out that Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament out of 27. That's one past half of them. And God gave him all the credentials he needed to preach the gospel. Since the gospel is not mentioned in the Old Testament, God did have the prophets and the kings and the priests. And they declared the word of God. Some of them did. But when we get to the New Testament, God changed that. He took care of the prophets. He didn't need the prophets no more, because the greatest of all prophets appeared on the scene and died on the cross. His name is Jesus. And then he called apostles, disciples and apostles and preachers. Now we got preachers. We're in a day of grace, and it's not preachers, apostles. It's not the apostles we're looking for. It's the preachers. And the preachers are to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I've got to find out what the gospel is. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. So now I want to find out how to preach. If I find out how to preach, I go study Paul. And I see how he preached it. And I get all the information of Paul. And I preach it. If you want to preach what Paul says, you'll be all right. I go to churches and hear preachers on the internet and listen to preachers. And some of them are not even preaching what Paul preached. He's the example of every preacher. Amen. Now, some today listen to what other preachers say, and they'll follow their pattern. They'll follow what the seminary says or the colleges say. And they become robots of the professors of the colleges they come out of. And many of our pulpits are filled with these kind of folks that have just got the mind of the college that they went to. And listen to what somebody else has said as their one has taught them. And I've been part of that. That's the reason I know some of it. But in my later years, I found out that if I want to know what's right, I go to the Word of God. Nowhere else do I need to go but to the Word of God. And Paul gives me what I need. So I stand up and preach. That's the reason Paul got up with such determination, and he said, I'm debtor. Well, everybody in this building can say that. You're debtor to something. It may be Georgia Power, but you're indebted to something. Understand? And Paul's not talking. You know what a debtor is? Somebody owes something. It's a debt you've got to pay, and you agreed to pay, whatever. You're a debtor. Now, Paul said this. He said, I stand up and I'm a debtor. Who's he a debtor to? Look at this. It kind of goes a little backwards from what you'd think. He said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise. And he hadn't borrowed nothing from the Greeks. He hadn't borrowed nothing from the barbarians. Why was he a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians? Amen. You borrow money, you're a debtor to whoever you borrowed it from. He ain't borrowed nothing from them. Well, why does he feel like he's a debtor to them? Most of the preachers get in the pulpit and they get up to preach and they'll say, I'm preaching because I owe God for everything I have. I'm a debtor to Christ. And then we got the wrong attitude. He gave us a free gift. I didn't borrow anything from Christ. He gave me a gift. God said, I'm going to save you and I'm going to give this to you and you're not in any obligation to me. It's a free gift of God. It's by grace through faith that you're saved through the shed blood of Christ. Amen. Plus nothing, minus nothing. You owe me nothing. Now when you get to the place you realize that your salvation, you don't owe God for it. And get your debt and business on the right side. Paul said, now, since he saved me and picked me up out of the gutter, took me out of the worst place that I could ever be in, took me out of the worst condition I could ever find myself in, and put my feet on solid ground, and wrote my name over in glory, and put down in me this peace and joy, and this satisfaction, forgiveness of sin, and it's a gift. And what God has done for me, turning my world upside down. Hey, I feel indebted to that man and woman out yonder that does not know Christ and never will know Christ if I don't tell them about it. I'm a debtor to sinners. And you're debtors to sinners. Now when I get up to preach, I'm not up here trying to pay back Christ for what He gave me. When I pass out a gospel tract, I'm not trying to pay back the debt that I owe. Where in glory do you find today that you owe a debt? I know one time I owed a debt that I could not pay. I was on my way to hell and Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary and He said, I pay that debt in full. And on the cross of Calvary, He said, it is finished. He stamped my debt paid in full. Now you may not agree with me. Just go home and while you're chewing your taters today, you chew that over too. You'll find out you don't owe God nothing. Now He wants something out of you. He wants you. But He don't force you to do it. He says, lay yourself on the altar of God and I'll bless you. I'll touch you. I'll strengthen you. I'll give you what you need. But He in no means forces you to live right. Because you don't owe Him anything. You know what He said? I give you the best thing you could ever have in life and that's salvation. But you don't owe me a penny for it. Now when you realize that your salvation is free and it's a gift of God and you don't owe Him nothing, brother, you begin to see about people out yonder without God and not in the ark of safety and they're on their way to hell, then you become a debtor to them. And what we do, Brother Virgil, when you're running that machine and printing, when you ladies are over here doing them, putting them books together, amen, you're publishing. You see what we do? We preach, we pray, and we publish. Matter of fact, there's four tools God uses in the church to get the gospel out. Number one, He uses the Word of God. Number two, He uses the Spirit of God. You can't have the gospel preached without the Word, and you can't have the gospel preached without the power. Then He uses the preacher. The mouth of the preacher or the personal witness, whatever you want to call it. The preacher. To declare that gospel. And number four, He uses prayer of the saints of God. Amen? And you take them four tools, and God can take a church and turn it upside down and can reverse the course of the world with them four tools. So what we're doing is we, here at this church, we're preaching, we're praying, and we're printing or publishing the Word of God. And it canceled joy. I can't hit a joy. My time just about got me and I ain't got nowhere. I'd like to finish this, but I don't have the time. Listen. I go out there on that back porch. It seems a little, first time I went out there, it seemed a little odd. I sit out there on the back porch and just preach like I'm wild Indian, you know, just best I could. Sit down. I'm not too used to sitting, but I found out you got to stay pretty close to the microphones. That's why I ain't moving now. I got them here in front of me. Amen. Since the system's tore up. Listen, you sit there and you say, this seems to be foolish. Nobody's hearing me. But now I've learned that there are people hearing. You go sit down and you say, Lord, I don't know where this is going. I don't know who it's going to. I don't know what they need, but God, what little words I can say, twist them around if I've got my mind in a different direction to say exactly what they need to hear. And I pray you'll season them with the Holy Ghost as you'll wake them up. And He'll instruct them. It's amazing. Brother Virgil, you go down there and you praying, and I'm sure you pray over them sheets as they come out. Boy, watching them papers drop. It's exciting to watch papers drop out of a machine, especially when it's printing good, ain't it, Brother Virgil? He sometimes gets over there and gets them papers together and begins to put them things together, and they look so good, and he's just doing that. So, I mean, you went down and you looked at it, and you said, he just does that like there ain't nothing to it. Just like there ain't nothing. And I guarantee you couldn't do it. You'd have to be trained. You'd have to get some experience. And he just puts them over there, lays them out. There they are, and the ladies check them. Oh, they sound like a bunch of blackbirds in the field. And they're putting them papers together and getting it together. We're putting them books out, and they're publishing it. They don't know where they're going. Neither do I. We don't know where somebody's going to write a letter and want a bunch or something like that. We're publishing. And we pray. I preach them little sermons, and they're going here and they're going there. And I pray, God, open the door. You know, I found out this one thing, and here's what this church needs to be praying about. We've got the internet out there, and that's a great tool for this church. And what we need to do is pray that God put it in the hands of the people. If they never hear it and never see it, they're never going to get it. And you pray God continue to open the doors of what we're doing. If you believe we're preaching the gospel, preaching the truth here, then I pray you pray today that God keep opening the doors. And if you don't think we're preaching the Word of God, first of all, just do what you've been doing, sleep on, and don't worry about it at all. Amen. I tell you, I want to get it right, don't you? Got one shot at it, want to get it right. Paul said, I'm a debtor. Number two, he said, I'm ready to preach. I'll have to come back and preach that. I ain't got time. And he said, I'm not ashamed. We need all that, don't we?
Amen.
Praise God. I believe Paul felt like he is indebted to somebody. Hey, you're going to hell, and you're going to hell. It's my job to point you. It's my job to tell you. It's my job to try to turn you around. Hey, I want to convince you. I want to tell you. I feel indebted to you. I owe you the truth. I owe you the Word. I owe you the gospel. And beloved, we owe the world the gospel. If you're going to wait for them to pass a law in Congress that everybody has to get the gospel out, you're going to have to wait till after the impeachment to even think about it, and then they ain't going to do it. You with me? If you're going to wait till the governor puts out a decree for the state of Georgia that we must preach the gospel, you will die before it ever gets done. But God has already empowered the church, instructed the church, and told us to, and we've got the highest authority that anybody could have. Preach the word. Preach the gospel. Not my philosophies, not your philosophies, but the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. Heads bowed. Amen. Eyes closed. May God touch you and help you today. Amen.